The Holy Gospel this morning is according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Oh, let's try that again.
Glory to you, Lord.
You guys realize we said the word glory, right? Yeah. There we go. Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out. They fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the very first funerals that I was ever a part of my internship year in Stillwater, Minnesota, 12 years ago now, was for the wife of a retired pastor in our congregation. The pastor's name was Pastor Ed. His wife had battled Alzheimer's for 8 long years, and every single day, twice a day, he would go into the nursing home to visit her and to sit with her and do whatever they could comfortably do. And I remember one morning in early October, I got a phone call from Pastor Steve, my supervisor. He said, "Craig, I am at a meeting over in Minneapolis. Ed's wife just passed away. Can you run over to the nursing home and be with the family?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I ran out to my truck. It was downpouring rain. I remember like yesterday, I got in the truck, went to the nursing home, and I walked into the room. It was literally minutes after she had passed. And Ed was literally laying in bed next to his wife, holding her body. Tears streaming down his cheeks, and I just stood there in silence. We sat there in silence. There's nothing really to say at that point. Months later, it was Easter morning, and there we were between the sunrise service and the next service, much like a morning just like today. And there was the hustle and bustle in the narthex. Everyone's coming in and going out. Everyone's beautiful in their Easter dresses and their Easter plaid, just like you young gentlemen have, their Easter plaid. And extended family is there. The college kids are home from Easter. This is apparently the time everyone thinks that they want to meet the internship pastor. So I'm being pulled one way and the other. And I enjoyed it. We were laughing and smiling. But I noticed off in the corner was Ed, Pastor Ed, staring out the window, just looking at the parking lot. And I walked over to Ed, and he just looked absolutely exhausted. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I just said, "Ed, how are you doing this morning?" And I'll never forget what he said next. He said, "Craig, I visited her twice a day, every day. And I still can't figure out how to fill those gaps in my days." And then he paused for a moment and he continued. He said, "Craig, I was a pastor for almost 40 years. I preached this resurrection story many times, so many times that I can't even count. And today, I hope it's true." "I hope it's true," he said. I think it was probably the most vulnerable, the most honest words that I think this man, this old retired pastor, could have shared in that moment. He said, "I hope it's true." Ed, my dear friend, I too hope it's true. As I myself have now stood next to 200 plus caskets and urns with my Bible in my hand, I hope it's true as I've walked alongside many families also battling Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, other forms of dementia, and other life-ending ailments. I hope it's true. Years ago, as I searched Deerfield Lake for 3 weeks, looking for one of our high school youth, a story I've shared many times, only to find out at the end of those 3 weeks that our worst thought came true as we found him in the bottom of the lake. I hope it's true as I fell on my knees this past summer, gripping my front bumper of my truck out there at Divers Point as we were about to begin the search for Lee Weber on this past 4th of July weekend. And I remember vividly remembering this search at Deerfield Lake myself and thinking to myself, Lord, I really don't want to do this again, knowing that it was inevitable. I hope it's true while waiting for the ambulance to show up, while holding the hand of a neighbor who just admitted to overdosing in an attempt to leave their troubles of this world behind, holding their hand as their pulse gets more and more faint. I hope it's true while holding a lifeless child in my arms on the way to a hospital, holding that child because the mother isn't allowed to until the detectives give permission, holding that child in an attempt to give mom comfort and dignity amongst the unknown. Pastor Ed, I too hope it's true. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no doubt that death is all around us. Amen? It is one thing that every single one of us in this moment in time can actually agree upon. This past year has certainly taught me that people can't seem to agree upon much these days, but one thing we can agree upon is that death exists, and we cannot escape it no matter how hard we try, no matter how many resources we may or may not have, no matter whether you're rich or poor, no matter what gender we are, what race we are, what age we are, death happens. Amen? But what I haven't wrapped my head around yet is this question that has been weighing on me for the better part of this year. At what point did we become a world that was so darn terrified of it? I can't count. Now, if we rewind time just over a year ago, I cannot count how many times people have shared with me very openly, Pastor, I'm not afraid of death. I do kind of wonder. I'm anxious about the way it might come, but I'm ready to embrace that moment when I can meet Christ again in person. The number of times I've heard this conversation in nursing homes I've visited, in the hospital rooms I've visited, over cups of coffee and bottles of beer, I have heard variations of this desire to meet God so many times I've lost count. That is until this past year. That conversation has come to a screeching halt. And suddenly, this openness to a conversation about death has just become absolutely non-existent. Instead, we've replaced the optimism of life eternal with actions of such a demeanor, I can't even understand what I see or hear half the time. Now, oftentimes throughout this year, people have asked me time and again, Pastor Craig, how are you doing? And if you've been one of those people that have asked that question, you've probably gotten the same answer I've given almost everyone. One day at a time. One day at a time. And the reason I say this is because one day I hear of the latest death toll according to the media. Numbers keep stacking up, and it doesn't matter where you look, the numbers never match. The next day I hear of shootings being blamed on everything except for the incredibly broken person behind the trigger and the story that has led to that. The next day I hear of another person being beaten by angry mobs in another city across the country. The next day I hear of everyone, or I hear that everyone is racist for some different reason. And the next day I hear that my fellow pastoral colleagues across the land are being called prejudiced bigots because their interpretation of the Bible doesn't match up with what others believe. I myself, for the first time in my life, have been called a white privileged, white supremacist simply because of who I am and the ministry I do in the context of this community that I've been called to walk alongside of. No longer are the conversations and questions about what heaven might be, what might look like, or what God might look like when we finally get to meet him, or what it might be like to finally see our loved ones once again, or even the curiosity or the need of reassurance. Pastor, will I make the cut? Those conversations have come to an end. Instead, we're living our lives in a way that absolutely tries to run away from anything or anyone that will give us discomfort in absolutely anything we can imagine, especially inconvenience, because we would rather be able to walk and run back away from this concept of death, death itself. We're running from it as fast as we can, running back to our comfort zones in hopes that if we can go back to everything that was comfortable, maybe, just maybe, we can evade the inevitable. Amen? Amen. We can no longer talk to someone who disagrees with our political thoughts. We can no longer associate with someone with or without a mask. We can no longer talk about colors in a crayon box because it might lead to a conversation about racism or hatred of our neighbor. As a father, the thing that pained me the most a couple weeks ago, my wife came out of the bathroom with a tear in her eye because my daughter, my young 9-year-old daughter, was in the shower and she asked the question through the shower curtain, "Mommy, am I evil because I was born white?" This dad doesn't enjoy the fact that my beautiful daughter even has that question in her mind. What the hell are we doing to ourselves? Amen? I will ask this question. This is the only question we need to ask ourselves today. Are we truly an Easter people? Are we a people who actually believe in the resurrection? Do we actually believe that death and the brokenness of this world is not the final answer? Or are we a people so entrapped by the ways of this world that we can no longer speak about anything else other than what is wrong with this place? And brothers and sisters in Christ, God created it to be good. And even amongst the brokenness and chaos, God went to absolutely great, great lengths, it's called Holy Week, to give us another chance, amen? It is not such a terrible place. And we really need to start embracing that. For the first time in a long time, I finally understand why Mark ends his gospel the way he does in this Easter story this morning. The words go back to this. The women ran away from the tomb in fear, and they said nothing, period. End of story. Cliffhanger. Now, if you've got one of those fancy study Bibles, you'll go in and you'll see that there's a notation that says the following verses were added by scribes over the years. Why? Because we as human beings, we don't like cliffhangers, do we? We've got to add a little happy ending to the story, which is called 2021, right? We want to add a happy ending to the story. The ending comes to a period. They ran away in terror because their Savior is missing. They ran gripped with terror because this was unexplainable. Mark ends the story right here because it is the ultimate climax to the ultimate story, and here's the catch. We will not and cannot let the story end in silence ourselves. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Mark ends his story with this cliffhanger because I believe that it was Mark's faith that knew that anyone that read it in the years to come would be the 17th chapter ourselves. We are the following chapters that have never been written. We are the ones who will and must pick up where the women leave off. Today, if we truthfully, if we faithfully call ourselves the Christians that we are, then we must continue the foot race that the women end with in the story this morning, because we know what happens next. The gift of our story is we already know the ending. We know what the resurrection means. We know that death is not the final answer. And even though life might be wrenched away, even though the world is in chaos once again, even though the devil may have his claws dug in so deep into so many things, Christ is still going ahead of us to meet us at the lake one final time. And Christ is still showing up in the embrace of compassion. The resurrected King will still win the battle. I'm going to end with this. All week long, I've been wrestling with what to say. And it was at our men's Bible study on Wednesday morning that I finally had my epiphany, and I give thanks to the man. I like to give credit where credit is due, and he's a very humble man, so he might roll his eyes that I'm sharing his name, but Greg Dean and I, out in the parking lot, had this moment. He said, "Pastor, you know, I feel like the whole last year was Holy Week." I said, "Greg, say more." He said, our Maundy Thursday, many of us were in the garden praying this year. Many of us spent countless hours in prayer, and maybe that prayer went along the lines of what Jesus himself said, Father, if it is your will, please take this cup of curse, or please take this cup of wrath away from me. It is your will, not my will. I imagine some of our prayers were along those lines. And then Greg and I continued, our Good Friday, many of us have witnessed and experienced the floggings, amen? The entire year was a year of floggings. It was absolute chaos. Violence galore, beatings galore, corruption galore. You want floggings? We had our floggings. But I'll never forget the last part of what he said. He said, Pastor, he said, now, many of us, I think, are finally trying to come out of our tomb, trying to experience the resurrection. I looked at him and I said, amen, brother. Amen to that. So let's leave this place today. Let's leave this place today like the women left the tomb, but this time we must not remain silent. We move from Pastor Ed's words, I hope it's true. We move from my words, I hope it's true, to the words, we are the Easter people and we know that Christ is true. Amen? Others are counting on us to share the story and live out the story and have an attitude that carry the story, and they don't even realize it yet. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.